Right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I'd just like to thank Paul for inviting me, thanks Sue for getting my name wrong. I'm going to start with the title poem to my forthcoming collection with Salmon, and it's set in the pub, which is quite appropriate. It's called Afternoon Drinking in the Jolly Butchers. They tell me now each decision opens a rift between this world and a possible one. Even trivial stuff, a tea or a latte, splits us endlessly. So now you and me, as we turned out, are galaxies apart from the last time we agreed, the last time you asked me, shall we have another one? Okay, so a lot of this collection is dealing with the past. I used to live in London, and a lot of it is set there. But of course, I'm looking back at the past from here, from Ireland, and from being a bit older and wiser. Electrification. My mother never saw a penguin until, as a young woman, she visited Edinburgh Zoo. She was astonished. By the time I was 25, there was nothing left new. Those eggs they eat in Thailand with the fully developed chicken side gave me pause for a second, but by 29, every image had already been translated into sequences of blazing neurons, every possible combination, and though I liked the phosphorescence, even that was supplemented with those mushrooms, and that Australian who came later to visit me in London. My mother remembers electrification, but in 97, I brushed against heaven, and it wasn't all that. So I lived in North London for 10 years, and I spent a lot of that time in Stoke Newington. So Stoke Newington shows up in a lot of those poems. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. This is a Stoke Newington poem, kind of. Shatter. Pressure can only build to the point where something gives. In the case of our planet, a small pane of glass in a basement flat on Neville Road, N16, 1998. Cracks spread in every direction along existing lines of weakness, one straight through our relationship, along the faults between tectonic plates, the disputed border of Eritrea, the enamel of an old man's teeth, 1 million minds numb with grief. Now the world is crazy paved, but no one can tell because it's held in place, laminated in that frozen moment after static, but one more tap, it will all shatter. Of course, it's very difficult to completely avoid writing poetry about what's going on in the world today. And if the world is on the verge of shattering, it's getting very close. So this poem is about the current situation, shall we say. It's called The Sky Wet, November 2016. And if that wasn't enough, the crows decided to usurp the starlings, to become the birds of murmuration, stars of a million YouTube videos. Up close, you could see they were ragged, all torn feathers and flea-bitten down. Up close, you could see they lacked grace, that it was an effort to stay in place. But from far away, the effect was something, a multi-dimensional black cloud forming non-Euclidean shapes. Of course, we're all fucked now. They dispensed with the song, the jolly chattering, the whistle and chime. They filled the air with their own cawing. The sky was darkening, and the noise deafening. And as it reached a terrible crescendo, they seemed to say, oh, how we have waited for this day. I'm dedicating this collection to a an old boyfriend of mine who died in 2015 as the result of a life of misusing drugs and alcohol. And this poem is fairly self-explanatory. The Lost. The first time I watched you shoot up, we were in the bedroom of the squat you had on Powell Road. You offered no explanation, and I said nothing in protest, though I could not watch the needle go in. Our talking lapsed as the warm tide reached your eyes, and I lost you for a moment or two. Then when you came back, we carried on like nothing happened. I carried on with what I was saying, but nothing now was the same. Eventually, I shrugged you off with all the violence of a thrush convulsing in beads of rainwater. It's only now that you are gone, I have begun to understand that every moment since that day is spent looking into your blank face. When I was looking through all the poems that I'd written since I started writing poetry, I was kind of, there's a lot of friendship poems in my collection and in the poems that I've written, and sometimes they may look like love poems on the surface, but there's a lot of friendship poems, and this is a short friendship poem. Passenger, I'll pick you up and we'll go somewhere, although it doesn't matter. The thing will be the soft slam of the passenger door, the sealing of an egg, the sweet car air, the iPod. You will choose the best of my suspect tunes, the ones you added yourself. I will drive unconcerned, and you will tell me things that cannot be said face to face. Okay, this next poem is in two parts, and the parts are called systole and diastole, and for those of you that have had no medical training, systole is the contraction of the human heart where it pumps out the blood, and diastole is the refilling of the heart with blood. Beat. Systole. I am still haunting the old addresses, oblivious to cosmetic improvements, wandering a pre-gentrified Stoke Newington, lost in a maze of grey council estates, still transfixed by reverberations of tower blocks that have not yet shivered to the ground, but still sweep acid house, a lonely beam over Hackney's waste ground. Diastole. Burning like the earth at the Burmese border, the fans all noise, no effect. Thai women still as Buddhas. Me, Western, huffing and bloated, wrestling with Christ on the floor, really grasping at straws, weaving pale meanings from gecko calls. Maybe take succor from a different boy. Some savage memory blazes momentarily, burns me clean, I give in finally, breathe. This is not a friendship poem, it's the other sort, but a kind of a weird one. It hasn't been published, possibly never will be. It's called I Have Feelings For You. If we could be transformed into otters, would you slip with me into black water, leave behind all of this, let go into cold fear, silver fish? Would you catch a fish for me, lover? Or scamper round the back of a chipper? Could you become a rat for me, please? Fill me full with your rat babies. Or blag a bag to share with me, junkie. Promise we'll get it together someday. Sink into soft oblivion. Wake up and find me blue. Or a can of Tennant's super, would you? Beg up enough for two and some Becky. Hide away to drink it yourself, come back sloshed saying you love me. Or might we even be a deity, brand new gods, half rodent, half alky, like Hollywood creatures only real, let's trample the city to smithereens. That's actually a sequence of poems that are all called I Have Feelings for You. I'm going to read you another one of that sequence. This one is called I've Got Feelings for You Too, but it's the number two, it's not a response. I have feelings for you too. Daffodils, stay tight within your green sheaths. Quiet as a brat child when words fail. I will remain with you here in early February with just a bare promise of yellow. Once you open, you will be outdone by tartrazine acid yellow 23. What is spoken is never really received. The streets will be lined with facsimiles. No one will notice you die. Right, two Galway poems now. I don't know what to say about this. I'll just read it. It's called Reunion at Cant Station. Just this, no pain, no clawing elation. The sparks relight the touch and I flare. Sit quiet in the cool of the station. Be grateful for the sudden vibration. Alone with the birds and the birds don't care. Just this, no pain, no clawing elation. Do not swear any hot invocation. Let this hot boiling tide just drain away. Sit quiet in the cool of the station. Some woman aging, someone's relation. Not who you were, but who you are today. Just this, no pain, no clawing elation. You, the darkness and the frustration. The anger in you, its final decay. Sit quiet in the cool of the station. Finally to greet emancipation. This is what it is, whether or not it's fair. Just this, no pain, no clawing elation. Sit quiet in the cool of the station. I'm going to read a couple of poems about, my mother is suffering with dementia and it's fallen on me, they say that in Ireland, it fell on her to look after her, it fell on me to look after my mother, and anyone that's ever looked after somebody with dementia will know that things get surreal really fast. And this next poem is about that, and it's called She Can't Find Her Shoes. She can't find her shoes, though I have given her two pairs of mine, they're all gone now. But cardigans accumulate like sand in the hollows of the house, a shifting topography of wool and acrylic. Her glasses appear and disappear with a regular rhythm, never there when you need them, but always underfoot, having accomplished the miracle of being there but not, like the cat in the box, everything in this house, alive and dead at once. All we do is choose, I get up to find the shoes. It's funny because I've written loads of poems about the past, and this thing with my mother is going on and it's really big, and I think it's easier to Heidegger, the only time I'm going to mention Heidegger in my says you don't know something until it's past, you know, and I sometimes wonder why there aren't more poems on this subject, the subject of my mother and her dementia. I'm glad for the few that I have managed to write, though I dare say there'll be more at some point. Dispute. Laterally, my mother's silent complaint, the mute argument of her life, articulates itself inside her body. Each unspoken tirade, eventually rendered in flesh, scratched into synapses. Foot plants itself on the stair, refuses to move till she swears, come on you fucker, drags it sulking up one, but then the other, stops and on it goes, the claim and counterclaim of an insidious dispute that leads nowhere. Yeah. Right, this next poem I have sent, I think every editor in Ireland has read this poem and rejected it so far, and a few in the UK as well. And mostly when a poem is so thoroughly rejected, I give up on it myself. But I love this one. I don't care how many people, I might just keep sending it. It's called Witching. Don't tell me you hated afterwards. My bad soul stayed back, clinging to your coat like smoke, or catching in your throat, moving in peripheral vision, sometimes a demon grinning in your vitreous humor. In its absence, I developed a fondness for charity shopping, rummaging through piles of soiled sweaters with falling, picking them up with stiff fingers, sniffing from a distance, never buying anything. I've got a sweet little love poem now. It's like the only one I have, and it's 5 lines. As you sleep, I watch the flickering rhythm of your skin, the pulse of the carotid artery, wonder and fear at its delicacy, and in reversal only lovers achieve. You are flesh, and I am dream. Right, this is my penultimate poem. It's another Galway poem, another happy poem actually. Waning. At the Cladder, a pink dusk sinks onto orange lights. A half moon presides. I see it now. This is how I live, in the softness, wandering over the bridge, filled with the moon. And this is my final poem. It's to my ex-boyfriend that died, but really to pretty much everyone I ever went with. It's called What Did I Do to Deserve You? We exist so the universe can experience loneliness. You may think if everything is one, it will be content, there will be no suffering, but you are wrong. If there is just one thing, there can only be longing, with nothing to long for. So here we are, splinters in the dark, no other purpose but to break each other's hearts.